Hello and welcome to our program. We're in Nehemiah chapter 3. If it's possible, have your Bible ready. I'm reading in Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar, the son of Amri." Well, we have a lot of people mentioned in this portion of Scripture. We have Eliashib, the high priest. We have the men of Jericho. We have Zachar. He is called the son of Amri. Who are all these people? Well, it's not that important as to who they are, as to the fact that the Lord says in Hebrews chapter 6, and verse number 10, "For God is not unrighteous that to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Here we have some people who are giving their time, giving of their life. You know, you can give your money and you can go out and earn some more money, but if you give your time, you give it. You can't get that back. And here are some people who are doing something for the cause of Jesus Christ, and they're giving their time, and God knows who they are. There are about 2,600 people named in the Bible. We talk about a few of the ones that are more famous, but God knows all of them. He knows the workers in the nursery. He knows those that are helping with bus ministries. He knows those that are helping to clean up after everybody goes, and they clean the washrooms and vacuum the carpets. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Well, we read here that they are building the sheep gate. Now, here's the project that's underway. The first one is the sheep gate. Now, it says they sanctified it, and they built doors, and they put towers up there. A couple of towers are mentioned here. And these men of Jericho, it says, were involved. Who are these men of Jericho? Well, you go back to Ezra chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, "Now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those which had been led away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away unto Babylon, and came again to Jerusalem and Judah, every one to his city." And then in Ezra 2 and 34, it names all those people, and you get down to verse 34, it talks about the children of Jericho, which were 345 of them that came back. Well, they're back here, and all of these people, whoever they are, and God knows who they are, they are working on the sheep gate, the sheep gate. Now, we have 10 gates represented here in this portion of Scripture, and this is the first of those 10 gates, and this one has to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship is the way in which two or more people regard and behave toward each other. Now, the word behave means to conduct oneself in accordance with the accepted norms. Now, a norm is a standard or pattern of behavior that is expected. So, the Bible says in Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Now, that word usually gets left out, that word be. We often hear it quoted, "Can two walk together except they agree?" That's not what it says. It says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" That means somebody has to change. We've got to line up. Now, most Christians expect God to accept what they think as to be normal, and they're going to hope that God lines up with them. No, it's not going to happen that way. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 10 says we are to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. He's not going to approve what is acceptable unto us. And so when it comes to building the sheep gate, what we need to do is to determine if we can conduct ourselves in accordance with what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, it is impossible to have a relationship with anybody if we never communicate. Now, if we're going to communicate with the Lord, how that happens is the Word of God is Him speaking to us, and prayer is us talking with God. And so it says here, they builded the sheep gate. They built it. Now, some of these gates they repaired. In this situation, they need to totally rebuild this gate. We have a verse in the Bible, Matthew 26, verse number 40. Jesus said to the disciples, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I'm going to give you a little outline on how easy it is to pray for an hour. I'll give you 10 words if you want to write them down, if there's much help to you, as they are to me when it comes to a time of prayer, that'll be helpful to you. Number one in the list is praise. Take time to praise the Lord. You got so many things to praise Him for. Number two, take time for soul searching. That is, take time and ask the Lord, is there anything in my thought life yesterday that was not pleasing to you? Or you would reveal that to me. The Bible says we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is there anything in my thought life yesterday that is not pleasing to you, Lord? And then is there any actions that I was involved in yesterday that are not acceptable in thy sight? If you would just reveal those to me, Lord, I will confess them as sin. And then what about my attitudes? Maybe I had an attitude that wasn't very good. Or what about my motives? That one's a little harder to stop and think about for a while. Sometimes our motives may not be as pure as we think they are. So if we take some time and praise the Lord, and then we take some time and just ask the Lord to search our thoughts and our actions, attitudes, and our motives from yesterday. Well, now that'll lead us to the third part, and that has to do with confession. If He's going to bring these thoughts or the reality that we had some bad thoughts or actions or attitudes or motives, then it's what we need to do is, as the Bible says, and we've already quoted, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The next word on the list that I have on my list is family. This is the time to stop and to pray. Pray for your immediate family. Pray for your extended family. You know, if you don't stop and pray for your family, I wonder if anybody will pray for them today. Then, another area where you can really enjoy a time of prayer is to pray the Word of God back to Him. He loves to hear His Word prayed back to Him, and that's a really safe way to pray. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 12, it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you." Now, if we're going to pray this portion of Scripture back to the Lord, we would do it something like this. Verse 12, "Today, Lord, I do not want sin to reign over my mortal body, that I should obey it in the lust thereof. And so with your help today, I want that to become a reality." Verse 13, "Neither will I yield my members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but I yield myself unto God as one that is alive from the dead, and my members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Now, if I'm going to do that, I have to do it. So I'm going to yield my members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It also says here, I'm going to yield myself. Now, what is myself? That is my mind, my will, and my emotions. And so to Lord, today I give unto you my mind.
I give unto you my will, and I give unto you my emotions. Please take control of those today. And now I want to give you my instruments as instruments of righteousness, and so I yield to you today my eyes. Have control of my eyes. Have control of my ears today. Have control of my mouth today, and my hands, and my feet. Take control of those things today. Now, if we will honestly do that, and ask the Lord to take those instruments and use them for His glory, then we can honestly say in verse number 14, by the power of God, sin shall not have dominion over me today. Another portion of scripture that could be used in devotions and praying back to the Lord is Psalm 119. Except for the first few verses, all of these little sections here, and they're in sections of 8 verses each, they are all a prayer. And so if you, for instance, reading in verse number 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And the verse goes on. Every one of these sections of 8 verses is a prayer to the Lord. And we need to just personalize these verses and pray them back to the Lord. And so we can praise the Lord for a while. We spend some time in soul searching our thoughts, actions, attitudes, motives, confessing sin, praying for our family members, praying the word of God back to the Lord. Then number 6, intercession. That is when we pray for others. We've already had a separate section for family members, and now we can intercede for others. They would be members of our church, friends, people that God might bring to your mind. I hope you would put me on that list and pray for me. But we would intercede for others. Then circumstances, number 7. The circumstances. This is really an interesting thing. We would call it the providence of God. There's circumstances that came into your life yesterday that didn't come into anybody else's life. And if we stop and just spend some time in prayer saying, Lord, why did those circumstances come into my life? Were you trying to teach me something? Is there something I can learn from those circumstances? And then number 8, petitions. That's when we get to asking God for things that we might want for ourselves. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Unfortunately, many of us might put that at the top of the list, start praying there first. No, praise the Lord for a while, have some soul searching, confess some sins, pray for your family, pray the word of God back to the Lord, intercede for some others, pray about yesterday's circumstances, and now you can take some time and say, Lord, I would really like to have this or like to have that. God answers every prayer I've ever prayed in my life. Now, actually, probably 99% of them, he said no, but he does answer prayer. But I'd hate to get to heaven and find out I could have had something, but I just didn't ask for it, because he says, you have not because you ask not. And so it's not wrong to ask for things for yourself, unless you're putting that at the top of the list. Then number 9, thanksgiving. Now, we're talking about that verse, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? We have so many things that we can be thankful for. So many, hundreds of things. Health and strength and friends and the Bible and our local churches and just the things that God does for us, our children, our grandchildren, our fridge, our stove, our dishwasher, our families. Just, we could go on and on and on and on. And then finally, I want to use the word praise again. Praise the Lord. Now, one way to praise the Lord is to do it through hymns. There's all kinds of hymns in the hymn book. If you take one of those hymns and just sit down and in the quietness by yourself. Now, if you're like me, you won't want to have anybody listening to you when you sing. Some people, you know, Lord made the crows as well as the canaries, and I fit in that crow department. But, you know, the Lord just loves to hear you sing to him. Like, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Well, there's four verses to that, and I'm not going to make you listen to the next three. But if you, Lord would love to hear you, even if you're singing off key like I do, he would love to hear that to be more than just something we do at the end of a service in church. Lord, have thine own way. There's so many hymns in the hymn book that we could sing to the Lord. And so, building the sheep gate. Well, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? We could take an hour a day just working on that one gate. There's nine others here that we're going to look at. But if we're going to see God do something, it's going to be because we determine to build the sheep gate. Our relationship with Jesus Christ, that must be number one. And so Eliashib was the high priest, and of course, he represents the leader here concerning spiritual things. Now, God has given us pastors in Ephesians 4 and 12. We are given for the perfecting of the saints, the Bible says. And so our main purpose as pastors should be that we would teach our people that we are responsible for in our church how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how to maintain that relationship with the Lord. Now, we have another area of leadership, and that is parents, and specifically the fathers. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, and ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so as leaders, we need to make sure that we have a relationship with the Lord that is honoring to him. And then we need to be teaching as pastors and parents, working together to help build the sheep gate. And it says here that they sanctified it. That word has been translated dedicated 10 times. And they built a tower in order to keep watch. You're going to maintain that relationship with the Lord as it should be. We're going to have to keep watch. 1 Peter 4:7 says, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Acts 20:31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, Paul said, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day with tears. In Mark 14:38, Jesus said, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Well, we see here in chapter 3 that the building program is underway, and they builded the sheep gate, it says, and then they built the fish gate, and the old gate, and the valley gate, and the dung gate, and the gate of the fountain, all these other gates, and they are so important. But unless we build the sheep gate first, unless we build that first, there's nothing for the other gates to lean against. And so we don't want to start out, you know, and say, well, I'm going to build this fish gate. That represents winning lost people. Well, building that fish gate is very important. We need to reach lost people. But if we do not build the sheep gate first, that is, if our relationship with Jesus Christ is not what it should be, then we're just building all the other gates in the power of the flesh. And that will accomplish nothing.